This morning, as we come around God's Word, I would like to consider the passages which the young people have read for us. And we'll be looking at a few verses of Scripture. So please, if you can have your Bible at hand, as we will be turning as we go. This morning, as we come around God's Word and we consider Christmas and Christmas Sunday, well, really, you know, there has not been much joy this year, has there? We sing at Christmas time, "Joy to the world, the Lord is come." And that is great news and great joy. But as far as society and everyday life goes, there'll be a lot of people will say, well, there has been no joy. There has been no joy. All we hear is restrictions, lockdown, the R number, the infection rate, daily statistics, government reports. And life has changed so much. And really, what is there to be joyful about today? We see many who live in fear. Loneliness and solitude impact many in our society. And so it is important now more than ever to bring good news of great joy to people who need hope and long to experience some joy. To those who perhaps have an uncertain future, the assurance of security. And, dear friends, it is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, a message of hope and joy to all people that we want to bring to you. This Christmas Sunday morning, I simply want to look at the advent of the Lord Jesus Christ, the promised Messiah, Jesus, meaning Savior, the Prince of Peace in the time of trouble. In our readings, we have thought about the joy which Christ brings. And we see from several of the readings great truths. And I want us to firstly notice that there is joy in His presence. There is joy in His presence. It was read for us, that passage, in Luke chapter 1. And there we read in verse 29 the account of Mary going to be with Elizabeth during the time of her pregnancy. We read that, and speaking of Elizabeth, and when she saw, speaking of Mary, about the angel coming, and she was troubled at his saying, and her mind was wondering as to what all this would mean, what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary." The reaction of Joseph was very similar. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 19, we read, "Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily." Again, we see a man here with concerns and fears. And yet the angel of the Lord appears again to Joseph in order to still his troubled conscience. While Joseph was in two minds what to do about the situation, we see that the word of the Lord brought peace to the troubled soul. And God's word still brings peace to troubled souls today. Mary went to stay with her cousin Elizabeth. And we're not told why, but it may be assumed that it was in response to this unexpected pregnancy. And perhaps, as we would say, to take the heat off the situation, as it were. But I want us to focus upon the events of that time. We read that as she entered in and explained to her cousin Elizabeth the situation, that the unborn child, even in Elizabeth, leapt with joy in her womb, namely John the Baptist. We read there in Luke chapter 1 and verse 44, "For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy." And where we have joy, even in the presence of the unborn Christ, the reaction of the news that Mary would give birth to the Savior of the world brought great joy into that home that day. I wonder, dear Christian friend, does your home speak of the joy of the presence of Christ? Elizabeth's spirit was stirred as Mary spoke to her of Christ, the Savior that would be born of her. Is there joy in your home as Christ is spoken of? Do we even speak of Christ in our homes? I wonder how often his name is mentioned, how often we talk to our spouses about the Lord Jesus Christ. How often do we talk to our children about the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, there was joy in that home as Christ was spoken of. And we can almost picture the scene and sense the atmosphere as these two ladies spoke about the promised Messiah who had been spoken of throughout all Scripture. The prophecies that had been given. The one who would come to bruise the head, to crush the head of the serpent. Oh yes, there was joy in the presence of the Lord. I wonder, do you know this day that joy in the presence of the Lord in your life, in your home? Or does it thrill your heart to speak of Christ? Or perhaps he is just a byword and a swear word to you. Perhaps this Christmas, dear Christian friends, we need to spend more time speaking of the joy that Christ brings. And our homes be more focused upon Christ rather than upon the commercialized views of Christmas. Or perhaps Christ is very much outside the door of your home. Even this Christmas Sunday, let us consider the words of Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. Is there the joy of Christ in your home? Is there joy in his presence with you, my dear friend? But let us also notice that there is joy in his provision. There is joy in his provision. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 10, we see that the angels appear unto the shepherds on the hillside. And there we read, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Here and in the surrounding verses, we have the message of the angel announcing the birth of Christ to the shepherds on the hillside. Again, we can almost picture the scene. The shepherds are gathered around the fire, some keeping watch over the flocks, while others perhaps dozed. And all of a sudden, in their midst, the angel appears. The Greek word here speaks of one standing over them. And so the angel came and stood or hovered over the shepherds. He was in their presence, and the lights of the glory of heaven filled that place where those shepherds were. Oh, can you picture their surprise? Is this a dream? No, for they are awake and watching. And to those who have been perhaps dozing or sleeping, still their ear was trained to the slightest noise. I'm sure if you're a parent, you know what that's like. You can be lying in your bed, sound asleep, and the slightest cry or rustle from a child, and you're awake like that. And so it would have been with those shepherds that would have been dozing or sleeping. Their ear was trained to the slightest sound, and the angel appears in their midst. And as this angel appears, we not only notice the surprise on seeing such, but we see that a great fear comes upon them, for they had never seen the like before. We notice that the fear filled them and it consumed them within. But in the midst of that fear, the angel immediately brings a word of peace to these troubled men. For he says, fear not, fear not. And the peace that he brings is that of good tidings of great joy. This phrase, good tidings, can also be translated as to announce or to evangelize or to preach. And it specifically speaks of the gospel. And here we have the angel bringing the good news of the gospel. That Christ has come from heaven above. And is born in Bethlehem's manger. And why? That he might bring salvation to a troubled world. Oh, there is peace brought in the words of the angel. And there is great joy in the message of Christ that would come and bring a message of good news, bring a message of salvation to a lost and dying world. Well, the Saviour was born in the flesh, that he would live that perfect life, subject to the will of God, in order to fulfill the covenant of works that God made with Adam in the garden. That covenant that required obedience to the law of God. That covenant and that law that man could never keep, no matter how he tried. We could consider the rich young ruler and how he came to the Lord Jesus Christ. And there he says, how can I have eternal life? And the Lord says to him, keep the commandments. Oh, I have done all this from my youth. I have kept the commandments. I have honored my father and mother. I have not committed adultery. I have not stolen. And what did the Lord say? One thing thou lackest. One thing thou lackest. Oh, here was a good and religious young man. And he sought to fulfill the law of God, but he couldn't. He couldn't. That young man, for him it was too much to give up all his riches and his treasures, his God, and to follow the Lord. And man could never keep the law of God. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ came. And as the God-man, he kept the law perfectly. And he went to Calvary's cross. And there the wrath of God was poured out upon him. And he shed his precious blood as the spotless, sinless Lamb of God, that perfect sacrifice. And by the shedding of blood, there is remission. There is salvation for you, dear friend, this day. Because Christ was born in Bethlehem. Oh, there is great joy, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, in Bethlehem's manger, we see the Lord humbling himself, the King of all glory. In his death, we see his submission, and in his resurrection, we see victory over death. The fear of every man is death. And as the angel spoke to the shepherds, we have seen that fear filled their hearts, for they did not know what was happening. And yet, the words that the angel spoke brought peace. And it is this message that brings peace to every troubled soul. The message the angels spoke of the provision of the Lord Jesus Christ, for he would save his people from their sins. He would provide a way of salvation and reconciliation to God, which we could never do in and of ourselves. And Fanny Crosby wrote those well-known words, "To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life, an atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in." Dear friend, are you rejoicing today in the provision of the Saviour? Do you still marvel that he would love someone like you? That he would endure the punishment that you deserved? And that he would die in your place? Oh, if that's the case, then, dear friend, we should be the happiest of all people on this earth. And we have a message of joy for those around us. Well, we have seen that there is joy in his provision and there is joy in his presence. But let us also note that there is joy in his person. Joy in his person. Turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. And here we have the account of the wise men making their journey to see the Saviour. In verse 9 of Matthew 2, we read, breaking in halfway through the verse, "And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with his mother, with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him." The wise men travelled a great distance to see the Saviour. And I'm sure they faced many difficulties along the way, and yet they were not deterred. On reaching their destination, we see that joy filled their hearts, joy unspeakable. These words speak of an overflowing joy, of rapture that filled their souls. And yet, at the end of their journey, such joy. For this year, for so many of us, it has been a difficult one. Our journey has taken many twists and turns. We have overcome the obstacles which have been set before us. And we have learned to do things differently. Our day-to-day lives have been changed. Things that we once took for granted now take on a whole different way. Even meeting together as God's people in this house. And we know the challenges that has brought upon us. And yet, friends, we're still here today and we still are able to preach the good news of the gospel. Whatever we have faced, the Lord has brought us this far. And the Lord will continue to carry us and lead us and guide us and direct us. Isaac Newton wrote those well-known words, "Through many dangers, toils and snares, we have already come. 'Twas grace that brought us, have brought us safe thus far, and grace will lead us home." Oh, the way may have been difficult. The trials may have been hard. But the Lord has brought us safe thus far. Praise his name. Is that not something to be joyful about today? That the Lord has watched over us and taken care of us? The wise men and the shepherds both found Christ. The one who was the good shepherd. The one who seeks out the lost. And the one who is our guiding light. The Lord himself said in Revelation 22 and 16, "I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star." In John chapter 8, verse 12, he says, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Oh, friends, what joy there is in Christ. Dear believer, you and I have a joy in Christ that is unspeakable. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ through the pouring out of his precious blood on the cross of Calvary for those who would trust in him alone for salvation. Speaking to his disciples of his death, the Lord said in John 16, in verse 22, "And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you." Oh, dear believer friend, no one can take our joy from us. No matter how difficult our path has been over the last months, not even a virus like COVID can take away our joy. Oh, praise his name. So we have seen that there was joy in his presence, joy in his provision, and there is joy in his person. But let us notice also that there must be joy in its practice. Joy in its practice. When the shepherds and the wise men found the Saviour, they worshipped him. This is the beginning of the work of the believer. But it must also be our continuation of our work and the ending of it. The shepherds were the most despised and distrusted of all classes of society in their day. They were often considered to be thieves and liars. Excuse me. And yet the news of the Saviour's birth was brought to such a group of men, the lowest of the low. The testimony of these men would have carried little or no weight. And if they would have went immediately into the villages to broadcast it, well, nobody would have believed them. But we see them leaving their flocks in the fields and following the instructions of the angel and going to Bethlehem and there finding in the manger the babe that was born to be the Saviour of the world. Their purpose was to see firsthand the child of whom the angel spoke. And when the angels departed out of their midst, they made it their primary business, as the wise men had done also when they seen the star. And so it must be the primary business of everyone seeking salvation to find the Saviour, Christ the Lord, the Redeemer of the world. But we notice that when they found him, they continued their worship. Oh, they bowed before him. They yielded their lives to him. And then they went forth and they spread the good news to all that they met. We read in Luke chapter 2, verse 20, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Well, these simple men heard the message of the angels, and they followed the instructions, and they went and they found the Saviour. They sought him and they found him and they worshipped him. And now with joy in their hearts, they go to bring the message of good tidings of great joy to each one that they come into contact with. Oh, there is a divine influence upon their lives. They are changed men as they return from being with Christ. And they're now glorifying God for what he had shown unto them. One commentator writes, Jesus Christ, born of a woman, laid in a stable, proclaimed and ministered to by the heavenly host, should be a subject of frequent contemplation of his church. That's of you and I, dear believer. The Lord Jesus Christ, his birth, his incarnation, his humbling himself to come and be born in Bethlehem's manger, should be a frequent contemplation to each one of us. After having their own souls confirmed, we see that these humble shepherds began to preach these mysteries with the fullest of conviction and truth. They became instruments in the hands of God to bring the same message of the gospel to their hearers had been given to them. And I am certain that these men who were once distrusted, as they came into the villages, as they spoke to those that they met along the way, were seen to be different. For they had been with Christ. Oh, these men who once would have been distrusted, their lives were changed, and it was evident for all around them to be seen. They were now new creatures in Christ. Dear believer, as we contemplate the birth of the Saviour, as we contemplate the message which these shepherds brought to those that they met, We ask the question, do those around us see a change in our lives because we have been with Christ? Or perhaps once there was. Perhaps once when we put our trust in Christ, when he saved us. Or we went out and we told all those around us, for the joy of our salvation filled our souls. That joy unspeakable. But as time has went on, perhaps we have lost that joy. Perhaps we no longer share that joy. Perhaps even those around us don't see any significant change in our lives today. Or is that not a challenge for each one of us? Are we living for Christ? In a time of such uncertainty, in a time when people are feeling miserable and cast down, when people are feeling lonely and isolated, should we not be sharing the good news of the joy which Christ brings? Oh, may the Lord challenge each one of us. May the Lord stir us up. May the Lord give us the gumption, the strength, to share once again, even this Christmas season, the good message of the gospel of Christ, the Savior of the world. You know, the message of the gospel can be very easily summed up in the words of Paul in Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Oh friends, today, in the words of the Christmas carol, let us say, let us come, let us adore him. Oh, let us adore him. Dear unsaved friend, what of you as we close? The angels appeared to the shepherds. They told them the good news that the Savior of the world was born. But the shepherds went and sought the Savior. The wise men saw the star in the sky. But that was not enough. They went and they sought the Savior. Dear unsaved friend, will you not come today and seek the Savior? Or you've heard the message of the gospel time and time and time again. And yet you've never repented of your sin. You've never trusted Christ for salvation. Oh, we have spoke about the joy that Christ brings. We have spoke about the joy in his presence. We have spoke about the joy of his person. We have spoke about the joy of his provision. And yet you have never experienced this joy for yourself. Dear friend, will you not seek Christ today? Joy to the world, the Lord is come. And friend, today you can know him as your own and personal Savior. You'll simply trust in him. Dear backslidden friend, once you knew the joy of your sins forgiven, perhaps now you're looking for joy in the things of the world. And oh, they may bring joy for a season. But you know that only true joy is found in Christ. Will you not return today, dear backslider? We pray that the Lord will restore the joy of his so great salvation even in your heart and life today. We pray that even as we leave this place, as the voice of man grows silent, that the voice of the Holy Spirit would speak on in each of our hearts. For in Jesus' name we ask these things.